Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled Life in the Spirit, Part 4. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 6. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 6 reads, "For those who live according to the flesh have their outlook shaped by the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. For the outlook of the flesh is death, but the outlook of the Spirit is life and peace." I have just read from the New English Translation. Before Tochukwu believed, his outlook on life was shaped by a fleshly, humanistic worldview. He lived for himself, seeking comfort and power, and believed money was the key to both. After accepting the Lord Jesus, Tochukwu noticed his walk with the Lord was not as fruitful as it should be. Despite his commitment to church and generous giving, he lacked real spiritual authority, and the signs Jesus promised to believers were absent from his life. Troubled by this, Tochukwu diligently sought the Lord, but did not seem to grow spiritually. After many years, Tochukwu discovered that although he was a believer in Christ, his outlook on life had not changed. He still lived with a fleshly outlook, serving God primarily for personal gain. His life and value system were still shaped by worldly standards. The first significant change the Lord brought about in Tochukwu's life was his outlook on life. He learned to measure success not by wealth, but by alignment with God's will and purpose. For the first time, money was no longer his God, and he embraced the words of the Lord. "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he owns." Luke 12, verse 15. In a few months, Tochukwu transformed from a spiritually impoverished individual dominated by fear to a powerful kingdom functionary. He could now fulfill his divine calling as a prophet of God. A person's outlook on life or worldview is crucial in determining their outcomes. If a believer still lives with a fleshly outlook, it indicates they have not allowed the Spirit of God to dwell in them fully. The Spirit of God rules wherever he dwells, but he does not dwell where he is not allowed to rule. Many believers do not live Spirit-filled lives because their outlook is still shaped by the flesh. They may feel filled with the Spirit during worship and prayer, but lose that filling when they return to their daily lives. God's ideal for us is to be filled with the Spirit at all times, living lives of continuous worship and focusing on pleasing him. This means the Spirit of God should fill our spirit, soul, and body, overflowing upon us. This dimension of the Spirit quickens our mortal bodies and deadens the desires of sin. It is the power that Jesus' disciples received to become his witnesses, see John 14, 17, Acts 1, 8, and it enables our mortal bodies to transmit God's divine power. Go into today remembering that God's plan is for the Spirit of God to dwell in you fully, not just with your spirit. The key to always walking in this dimension is having a spiritual outlook on life, free from worldly desires. The world cannot receive him, and a worldly Christian cannot accommodate him in this dimension. Prayer. Heavenly Father, please help me live with a changed outlook on life that seeks your kingdom first and foremost. Help me live a life always filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Leviticus chapters 10 to 12. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Leviticus chapters 10 to 12.
Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron,
"This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'"
Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle, Uziel, and said to them,
"Come here. Carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary."
So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp as Moses ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar,
"Do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the house of Israel, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance of the tent of meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you."
So they did as Moses said. Then the Lord said to Aaron,
"You and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean, and so you can teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses."
Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar,
"Take the grain offering left over from the food offerings prepared without yeast and present it to the Lord, and eat it beside the altar, for it is most holy. Eat it in the sanctuary area, because it is your share and your son's share of the food offerings presented to the Lord, for so I have been commanded. But you and your sons and your daughters may eat the breast that was weighed and the thigh that was presented. Eat them in a ceremonially clean place. They have been given to you and your children as your share of the Israelites' fellowship offerings. The thigh that was presented and the breast that was weighed must be brought with the fat portions of the food offerings to be waved before the Lord as a wave offering. This will be the perpetual share for you and your children as the Lord has commanded."
When Moses inquired about the goat of the sin offering and found that it had been burned up, he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons, and asked,
"Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sanctuary area? It is most holy. It was given to you to take away the guilt of the community by making atonement for them before the Lord. Since its blood was not taken into the holy place, you should have eaten the goat in the sanctuary area as I commanded."
Aaron replied to Moses,
"Today they sacrificed their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. But such things as this have happened to me. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today?"
When Moses heard this, he was satisfied. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron,
"Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew the cud or only have a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is ceremonially unclean for you. The hyrax, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. And the pig, though it has a divided hoof, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you. Of all the creatures living in the water of the seas and the streams, you may eat any that have fins and scales. But all creatures in the seas or streams that do not have fins and scales, whether among all the swarming things or among all the other living creatures in the water, you are to regard as unclean. And since you are to regard them as unclean, you must not eat their meat. You must regard their carcasses as unclean. Anything living in the water that does not have fins and scales is to be regarded as unclean by you. These are the birds you are to regard as unclean and not eat, because they are unclean. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, any kind of black kite, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that walk on all fours are to be regarded as unclean by you. There are, however, some flying insects that walk on all fours that you may eat. Those that have jointed legs for hopping on the ground. Of these, you may eat any kind of locust, katydid, cricket, or grasshopper. But all other flying insects that have four legs, you are to regard as unclean. You will make yourselves unclean by these. Whoever touches their carcasses will be unclean till evening. Whoever picks up one of their carcasses must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Every animal that does not have a divided hoof or that does not chew the cud is unclean for you. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them will be unclean. Of all the animals that walk on all fours, those that walk on their paws are unclean for you. Whoever touches their carcasses will be unclean till evening. Anyone who picks up their carcasses must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. These animals are unclean for you. Of the animals that move about on the ground, these are unclean for you. The weasel, the rat, any kind of great lizard, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the wall lizard, the skink, and the chameleon. Of all those that move along the ground, these are unclean for you. Whoever touches them when they are dead will be unclean till evening. When one of them dies and falls on something, that article, whatever its use, will be unclean, whether it is made of wood, cloth, hide, or sackcloth. Put it in water. It will be unclean till evening, and then it will be clean. If one of them falls into a clay pot, everything in it will be unclean, and you must break the pot. Any food you are allowed to eat that has come into contact with water from any such pot is unclean, and any liquid that is drunk from such a pot is unclean. Anything that one of their carcasses falls on becomes unclean. An oven or cooking pot must be broken up. They are unclean, and you are to regard them as unclean. A spring, however, or a cistern for collecting water remains clean. But anyone who touches one of these carcasses is unclean. If a carcass falls on any seeds that are to be planted, they remain clean. But if water has been put on the seed and a carcass falls on it, it is unclean for you. If an animal that you are allowed to eat dies, anyone who touches its carcass will be unclean till evening. Anyone who eats some of its carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Anyone who picks up the carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Every creature that moves about on the ground is to be regarded as unclean. It is not to be eaten. You are not to eat any creature that moves about on the ground, whether it moves on its belly or walks on all fours or on many feet. It is unclean. Do not defile yourselves by any of these creatures. Do not make yourselves unclean by means of them or be made unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves about on the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. These are the regulations concerning animals, birds, every living thing that moves in the water, and every creature that moves about on the ground. You must distinguish between the unclean and the clean, between living creatures that may be eaten and those that may not be eaten.
The Lord said to Moses,
"Say to the Israelites, A woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. On the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over. If she gives birth to a daughter, for 2 weeks the woman will be unclean as during her period. Then she must wait 66 days to be purified from her bleeding. When the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for her, and then she will be ceremonially clean from her flow of blood. These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl. If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring 2 doves or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her, and she will be clean.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.